In August of 1620, Puritans from England left their homes and comforts to begin a new life in the New World. They boarded two small ships, the Speedwell and the Mayflower, to pursue religious freedom in America. Not long after their leaving, the Speedwell developed leaks. Most of her passengers and crew transferred over to the Mayflower before the Speedwell turned back. A total of 102 pilgrims suffered through 67 days of rough sailing before they arrived at Plymouth Bay in November. There was nobody to greet them, no stores for supplies, no homes to buy. They endured the hardship of a very cold winter and the perils of sickness. At one point, only six people were well enough to care for the sick and dying. By March, the following year, only 51 of the original 102 pilgrims were still alive, and it would be another 2 years before a ship arrived with more supplies. Nevertheless, these brave pioneers celebrated their newfound freedom to worship as they desired. If you look back over this year, it may have been a difficult year for you. It may be still a difficult year for some. The fact remains that we still have much for which we can be thankful. Even in hardship, we can rest on the promise of God's presence and His plan, as He defined it in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, where the apostle wrote these words, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." A visiting farmer stopped at a city restaurant to eat lunch, and when he was served his food, he bowed his head and he gave thanks to the Lord. And some other guys were sitting at a nearby table, and they noticed the farmer's prayer, and they shouted out, "Hey, Pops, back where you come from, does everybody pray before they eat?" And their laughter was silenced when the unmoved farmer answered, "Everybody but the pigs." What a time to offer thanks to God. We have a war going on. Actually, we got two wars going on. We have increasing crime. We've got violence everywhere you look. And if you haven't noticed yet, the cost of living has been rising. And then there's just a continual breakdown of the family. When you consider those things, those realities can get very discouraging. In fact, it's a wonder that somebody hasn't tried to stop Thanksgiving altogether. But many have thanked God in times just like ours. Persons in Scripture and in history. One person who thanked the Lord for His mighty acts was the writer of Psalm 66. Psalm 66 in verse 1. "Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in Him. He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For You, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but You brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into Your house with burnt offerings. I will pay You my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer You burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor His mercy from me." What a wonderful offering of praise to the Lord. As you approach this day that we've set aside to give thanks, is that your heart? To get your focus on the Lord and just praise Him and offer thanks to Him for who He is and what He's done. The appropriate response to God's activity is gratitude. How is gratitude expressed? Our text reveals a threefold offering of thanks. Number one, we can thank the Lord for yesterday. Look again there, verses 5 and 6. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in Him. The writer remembered. He remembered the acts of God in the past, and he called on everyone to express their gratitude. In Israel, when they stopped and thought about it, they could thank God for the heritage that they have. They could give thanks for the patriarchs who took God at His word and stepped out on faith. It says they went through the river on foot. They trusted God. They took Him at His word and they stepped out on faith. Do we take Him at His word? Do we act upon that? They went through the river on foot. They could also give thanks for the prophets who courageously spoke the word of God to them. Even at times when they didn't want to hear it, they got God's word and it made a difference in their lives. Sometimes it was an encouragement to them, and sometimes it was a rebuke. Because sometimes we need encouragement, and guess what? Sometimes we need a little rebuke. Because we can easily slip off the path in our walk with the Lord. So they could give thanks for the prophets. But they could also give thanks for the psalmists, who sang songs of praise on those very dark and difficult days. Because all the days aren't great, are they? Some of the days are hard. It's hard to sing praise on those hard days, isn't it? But it's a little bit easier when someone can come along and encourage you to get your focus off of all those circumstances and get them back on the Lord. Every Christian can thank God for the events that have brought us the hope that we have for this life and for eternity. We can give God thanks for the coming of Jesus Christ. He came because God loved us. He died on the cross because God loved us. And then He rose from the dead. Because God loved us and He demonstrated victory over death. And that same victory that Jesus had over death, we can also have. And we can thank Him for the writings of His servants. We call it the Bible. And the truth that's revealed in the Bible. What a great truth that the Apostle Paul reveals in 2 Corinthians 5:19. What a great truth. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Not imputing their trespasses to them. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be reconciled and put back in a right relationship with God. And because of that, because of what Jesus did, God no longer holds our sins against us. And not only that, He's taken these broken vessels that would be thrown onto the trash heap and He's cleaned them up and He's sent them out to tell the message to others about the love that God has and what He's done. We can thank Him for that. We can thank Him for sending Jesus. We can also thank God for our own spiritual heritage, for the leaders who started the churches that we're a part of. That group of believers who came into this community, they looked around, they experienced the other churches, the other denominations that were here, and they wanted to start a Baptist church. And one or two of that group are still around today to be able to tell about that experience. And also for those who showed us what it means to be a Christian. Those who are living the life so that we can observe and we can see what it means to be a Christian. We can read the words on the page and somebody can tell us about it. It can be taught to us. But to actually see it in action. To see a life that's ruled by Jesus Christ. We can thank God for that. For those people that are in our lives. We can thank God for faithful pastors and Sunday school teachers in sharing the truth, teaching us what we need to know from His Word. And you know what? We can thank God for that person or those persons who boldly dared to share Jesus Christ with us. We can thank God for yesterday, but we can thank God, secondly, for today. Look at verses 8 and 9. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. If we're really honest with ourselves, we know that the good old days never really existed. When we talk about the good old days, we're thinking back over our life to another time, another era, and we remember the good things. But in our human nature, we have a way of forgetting the bad things that were also a part of those old days. And so the good old days never really existed. They were just days. And Paul and the other great leaders of the Christian church, they were concerned about the conditions of their time just as we are. But you know what? They believed that God was alive and He was on His throne. And their actions and their writings have been a blessing to the church and to the world forever. for centuries. Somewhere in Europe, I don't know the location, the story that I read didn't tell it. There are these bells that have been strung across the mountain range. There's no rope suspended from them to ring them, so no human hands can ring them. They ring when the wind blows, and they can be heard in the surrounding villages. In the fall, the bells make a few little tinkles when the gentle breeze blows, but they play their most powerful music during the strong winds of winter. Isn't that interesting? God brings out the best in us under the pressure of the toughest times. Our lives can sing the best music in the most difficult of times. There are great opportunities for the church today and great challenges that go along with them. Large parts of this world that we live in, including Eastern Europe, Africa, Latin America, and some other areas, they're open to the gospel as they never have been before. It's estimated that there are about 11,000 people groups in the world, 11,000 people groups in the world who have never had a Christian church among them. People of all ages, from all walks of life, are volunteering for short-term mission service overseas. That's one of the greatest things of our time in the ease at being able to travel to great distances and communication is that there's a whole lot more of short-term things going on. It used to be that missionaries would leave and they're gone, and you may not ever see them again for the rest of their lives. Age doesn't matter anymore. Before, it used to be they wanted to get a certain prime age to go out into the mission field. Now, there are people who finish up long careers, and in their 70s and 80s, they're going out on mission trips to do God's work all over the world. There's a lot of young people that are doing missionary work, as there always has been. But many of the young people who do missionary work today go from churches in third world areas. It's expected that they will soon outnumber the missionaries that go from North America and Europe. It used to be that the missionaries that went around the world either went from the United States, Canada, and from some of the West European countries. One of the sad realities of our nation is that there are many missionaries coming here because the United States is now ranked as about the fifth or sixth largest population of unchurched people in the world. We have more people who have never heard the gospel message in America than many countries in the world. And it used to be that we were the sending nations and one of the greatest sending nations, and now we need to be one of the receiving nations for missionaries from all over the world. God is alive and He's using His people to do great things. Earlene Lindsay had a good laugh listening to her great-grandson voice the dinner prayer one night. Five-year-old Luke started by praying this, "Thank you, Jesus, for a beautiful day, and keep up the good work." Third and finally, we can thank God for tomorrow. We can thank Him for yesterday and all the things that He's done, and we can thank Him for today, the things that we're seeing Him doing now, but we can also thank Him for tomorrow. Look at verse 4. "All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name." That's future tense. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. The writer is looking forward to the days ahead. You know what he saw? He saw the day when God will reign on earth and the world will respond to Him in worship. We may not know all the details. You know, we study the Bible and we discuss these things and we try to understand these things. We may not know all the details, but we know the end of the story. I always tell people when I see them, you know, they seem to be down or they seem to be struggling, I say, smile. Jesus wins in the end. I read the end of the book. Whatever's going on, Jesus wins in the end. God's promises will be fulfilled. His purposes will be completed, sometimes in spite of us. God is working in history to bring about His ultimate victory, and it's on the way. We serve the Lord because we're confident that He's in control. I'd have trouble serving someone who I wasn't sure had a handle on things. That was the attitude of a man who lived during the days of a lot of turmoil in Europe back in the 1600s. In a chapel at Stanton Harold outside of London, these words are engraved on a plaque. In the year 1653, when all things sacred throughout the nation were either demolished or profaned, Sir Robert Shirley, Baronet, founded this church, whose singular praise it is to have done the best things in the worst times and hope them in the most calamitous. During his years in the White House, President Harry Truman began an unusual Thanksgiving tradition. And every year since, United States presidents have used the Wednesday before Thanksgiving to pardon a turkey. A pre-selected bird is brought into the Rose Garden, and the commander-in-chief grants that big bird a pardon. The saved turkey is then ushered to a Virginia farm where he's granted immunity from the carving knife. This crazy ritual provides levity for those who watch, but it also gives each of us a great reminder at Thanksgiving. But for the grace of God, we're all turkeys headed to slaughter. It's simply by His pardon alone that we are saved. It's a Thanksgiving reminder we can't afford to forget. And I just wonder if you would make a commitment as we approach Thanksgiving. If you would make a commitment that would go beyond Thanksgiving, but if you would be willing to make a commitment to be a grateful Christian.